2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Everybody, JJ Cooper, Jeff Ponce, the Baseball America Winter Meetings edition of the podcast. We're talking about the Rule 5 review here because today was a big day. Today was the day that Jeff and I wait 365 days a year for because it was the Rule 5 draft. We had a lot of fun. We did fail to meet our goal. One of these years we're going to hit all, you know, going to get 100% on the MLB picks. I've written everyone up before it. This was not that year. This was not the closest year we've come to that, to be honest. But Jeff, even if I start off with that really disappointing note that there were some players, pick three of the Rule 5 draft, we looked at each other and we're like, yeah, we didn't get that guy. But how are you?
Not too bad. Doing good. You know, we're kind of winding coverage down here. It's been really busy 3 days and we're about to retire back to our caves for another week or so to finish our handbook chapters. So busy weeks ahead, but yeah, kind of, you know, relaxing now and looking forward to getting back home and, you know, finishing up the stretch run here.
Before we do, I think that Ben Badler, Carlos Collazo are going to cover this in more detail. But before we jump into the Rule 5 draft, we would be remiss if we didn't say that there's been a number of trades. But I would say that, no offense to the Jake Berger trade, but we can, you know, we've got stuff up on the site about that. You know, if you are a big Spencer Horwitz fan, I got really good news and bad news for you, which is he was a Blue Jay and he was a Guardian and now he's a Pirate. But there's a lot of coverage of that. But when we say the trade that's happened, Jeff, we've heard rumblings that this might happen. And here we are before we leave Dallas from the winter meetings. Garrett Crochet is a Red Sox. I just saw the Red Sox post that on social. So Garrett Crochet is a Red Sox. And in return, several of Boston's top prospects are now White Sox. What did you think of the trade?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to end up being a deal like this where there were going to be multiple top 100 level prospects that were moved, as well as some additional peripheral pieces. I think we kind of anticipated that. We had spoke offline about potential teams that could make this deal. We had talked about the Yankees and some others. And I think we kind of came back to, you know, with all things being equal and Crochet is willing to go to Boston, it seemed like they had the most ammunition, the most stuff in the kitty, so to speak, to be able to go out and acquire him and, you know, whether it's an overspend or underspend, whatever, but spend more than other organizations. And ultimately, I think that's what they did.
And the thing that does jump out to me about it is yeah, I think it's not a massive overpay by any stretch by Boston. I could say that maybe you want a little bit more if you're Chicago, but at the same time, I don't want to poo-poo getting two top 100 prospects and some other guys, especially Chase Meadroff, who, while not a top 100 prospect, if you told me, ask me right now, could he produce more WAR than any White Sox position player produced in 2024? I'm going to take yes on that. I'm going to take yes. Now, if you haven't looked, you might think, wow, so does that mean that he has to have 4 WAR, 5 WAR season in 2025? No, he has to be like 1.5, you know, WAR. So yeah, I think he can. I think he's got, with his on-base skills, with his defensive versatility, where he can play not great, but play multiple positions, ability to hit, all of that. 1.5 WAR doesn't seem like a bar that he might not be able to cover. But we'll leave the main lifting on that to the future projection pod, and we're going to dive in to our main lifting here. So Jeff, let's start by like, okay, I'll set the scene, which is, every year at the winter meetings, barring that one truly tragic year where there was no Major League Rule 5 draft, and then we had the pandemic one year where it was a Zoom call. But normally it is kind of the capper to the winter meetings. And it used to be on Thursday morning where you literally would see suitcases lined up in the convention hall, and many, many, many front office officials would go from the Rule 5 draft straight to the airport. Now it's a little bit different because it's on Wednesday afternoon. It was held today in a convention hall. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you're seeing a photo of this that is truly epically massive. I think I tweeted out that you could house everyone who understands what the Rule 5 draft is in the world in this hall. but it rattles off, and like it always does, the Rule 5 draft, the major league portion goes really fast. To jump in, we're going to go through every pick. We're going to cover every pick in some form, but before we do that, we're going to hit the highlights, which is, okay, major league side, if you had to pick one guy to pop out of this, and by pop, we mean stick around, produce a solid season next year, and have a decent career for the selecting team, who would that be on your end?
Yeah, I think Shane Smith. I know it's the easy answer just simply because he was the number one pick. But I do think that, you know, the organizational depth and maybe the aspirations of the organization to an extent in terms of how many games they're going to be competitive in certainly has an impact on your ability to stick with your, you know, team that has chosen you. And I think Smith, you know, it's good stuff. We had him as somebody that really from the very beginning, really since Declaration Day, that we thought this guy was probably going to go in the Rule 5 draft. There was a lot of buzz around that, I think, with multiple teams. He goes 1-1 overall. The stuff is good. And when you're talking about an organization like the White Sox, they make a move like this. They put that money out there. They have a little bit longer leash for a guy to struggle. So I think for me, it's probably Shane Smith is the most likely to stick. And I think when we're talking Rule 5 draft picks, at the end of the day, sticking with your organization for the full season has to be the most important thing.
I'm going to stay with pitchers as well. I'm going to go with the Twins, Everson Castellano. They took from the Phillies. Now, the Twins have a pretty deep pitching group right now, so it's got maybe a little bit tougher road to making the team. But I do think he's the guy who, when we talked to people over and we were talking to people in the lead up to the draft, is kind of the name that we probably heard as much as anybody. And I would say him, or the other one is one of the last picks that we saw picked, which was Mike Vassell, who was originally picked. At the time it was like, oh, he's a Philly. Well, no, he was traded to the Rays for cash considerations. But even though he was the second to last player taken in the Major League World 5, I would also view him as someone who's got a pretty good chance. Having hit with our highlights, now we're going to go boom, boom, boom. Okay, so the White Sox, picking 1-1, take Shane Smith from the Brewers. You've already talked about him. So we're going to move on to pick 2, which was the Rockies pass. So the pick 2 was the Marlins. And they took Liam Hicks, a catcher from the Tigers, who was only a Tiger for a very brief period of time because he was traded in the Carson Kelly deal at the deadline in 2024. When you see trades at the trade deadline, one of the things to watch for is a lot of the time what you see is you will see players traded who will be facing Rule 5 decisions. In this case, the Tigers, who have a ton of catching depth, a ton, decided not to protect him. The Marlins look at him and see him as someone who can compete to be their backup catcher. Doesn't mean he's going to be that job's not handed to him, but he's going to compete for that job. They like the bat. They think the defense is good enough, you know, and that they're going to continue to develop it. And the bat, it's not a whole lot of impact, Jeff, but the thing that does stand out to me, you wrote about this, is it's what I would describe as survival skills. His survival skills as a hitter are very good. He may not have a whole lot of power. He may not have a whole lot of impact. He's also a guy who's unlikely to hit a .150 with a 50% strikeout rate.
Yeah, he's going to hit for contact. He'll probably get on base. There's not a lot of underlying power there whatsoever. He does actually hit the ball in the air on a lot of line drives. It's just the underlying impact is like a 20. But there is some, you know, there's advanced barrel skills, advanced bat to ball skills. He showed that in the AFL a couple of years ago. And the Marlins continue to show that they really like the 2023 AFL class because they traded for Jacob Marse and they went and got Liam Hicks in the Rule 5 draft. It's, you know, two of the big sort of breakouts from that year. So I think it's kind of ironic or funny, at least, that, you know, those two guys ended up with the same organization. But really good contact skills. I don't know defensively where he sticks. He can catch a little bit, but it's not like he's somebody who was catching 80, 90 games and throwing out runners at a 30% clip or anything like that.
Okay. So then we get to the third pick, which was the Angels selecting Garrett McDaniels, a left-hander from the Dodgers. And this is the one where we looked at each other and said, "Oh, well, we're not going to go 15 for 15 this year." What was it? You wrote him up. We had to add a write up for him. But what was it that stood out about McDaniels? Kind of what is your short little thumbnails on what Angels fans can expect from Garrett McDaniels?
Yeah, a lefty with a four pitch mix. He's got a couple of different fastball shapes, a couple of different breaking ball shapes. Set like 92, 94 on a four seam. He's got two seam as well. It's a gyro slider in the high 80s and then a changeup. The unusual thing with him, and one of the reasons I think he was a miss for us in our preview, is only three innings above A ball in his career. There aren't many of those guys, especially in recent years in the Rule 5, that have been taken. So not a ton of high-level experience here, but he is a left-hander that is up to 94, couple different shapes, and a hard slider and changeup.
So if that was the third pick, I'm going to go back to you on the fourth pick here, Jeff, because you wrote up Noah Murdock. A's selected Noah Murdock, a right-hander from the Royals, and that's another guy who I think you kind of thought really kind of stood out and was someone who's got a pretty plausible path to sticking around.
Yeah, I think when you look at names that have, pretty big stuff, the ability to miss bats, has some upper minor success, particularly in AAA, which I think has maybe never, is for at least for the pitching side of things, has maybe never been sort of a better test environment than we've had previously. Had 30 something innings there. I think it was maybe 35 or 36. There's swing and miss stuff, high strikeout rates. And then once again, you look at the organization, you look at the Athletics, and I think you look at Noda, you can look at Mitch Spence last year. They have a pretty good track record in recent years of holding on to the Rule 5 picks and thinner major league roster. So more opportunities to hold on to those guys, particularly in the pen when, they've traded away guys like Irsig, et cetera, in the last year. So there's opportunities to be had there.
There are. Speaking of that, the Nationals then picked Evan Reifert, right-hander from the Rays. This is the player who I think has a low likelihood of sticking, but if he does, could end up being the best player out of this major league portion of the Rule 5 draft. Because when Evan Reifert's been good, he's been really good. Saw it in the AFL a couple of years ago. We've seen it at times in AA. Then there's the caveat, which is when he's been good, because there's other times where couldn't throw a strike, it just was impossible for him to throw strikes. Wild scattershot command and control. He's had some injury issues, had to be shut down, kind of has had years where it's like, wait, what happened to him? It's like, well, no, he started out, it was really bad. He had to be sent back to the complex, all that. So there's the good and the bad. He did finish last year. It was doing well. I think it's notable that he didn't get pushed up to AAA Durham last year, even though he had a lot of AA experience, which kind of tells me a little bit they were a little worried, like, okay, if he's on a roll, we don't really want to mess with this right now. But I get why the Nationals are taking a run there, because I'll now kick it to you, Jeff, that like when you look at the stuff, it's not like there's any one pitch that really jumps out, but he misses bats. He has a chance to be a useful kind of medium to high leverage reliever if it all clicks.
Yeah, and I think, the only question for me is you probably would have liked to have seen some AAA time for Reifert, but he was dominant in AA, and especially after a really down 2023, almost went back 10 years there, 2023, where the command really backed up, and he was kind of, I feel like, buzzing a little bit heading into that season coming off of an AFL, if I remember correctly, where he was pretty good. Yeah, I think you look at the stuff, you look at the fact that, it was a 40.4% strikeout rate. That's still upper minor success for sure. 1.96 ERA. I think there's a really good shot for him to stick in the bullpen, and the stuff is good. And I think, if you had spoken with some folks in the Rays organization today, they probably would have told you that it might be a good fit for him just because of how deep that organization is right now, that maybe it's not wrought with opportunities.
So now we get into, this is one of my favorite little categories, Rule 5 Arcania explanations. Probably should have explained that, by the way, this is major league portion of the Rule 5 draft. Little quick explainer for people. You're picked. You have to be carried not only on the 40-man, but on the active 26-man roster if healthy. You cannot be optioned to the minors. next season. Now, key caveat there is if healthy. If you're injured, you can be on the injured list. Nothing, people get hurt. In the case of Angel Bastardo, the right-hander for the Red Sox was selected by the Blue Jays, it's one of those examples because he is eligible for the Rule 5 draft, but he's also coming off of elbow surgery, Tommy John. He will likely not be healthy and ready to go on opening day. In a case like that, you can just carry him on the injured list. When he's healthy, you can bring him off. And by the way, when he's healthy, you can send him to the minors, not option to the minors, but on a minor league rehab assignment, because you don't just want to throw him straight into the majors. You need to work it out, make sure that he's healthy, that everything's back to normal. Well, a guy like Bastardo, so what can that means is let's say he starts the year on the 15 or the 60-day IL. Let's say that in May or June, you send him out to pitch in AA or AAA on a rehab injury rehab, which kind of gives you a 30-day window to kind of figure out, is he able to help you at the big league level or not? And then, if you do, you bring him up to the big leagues. He can't be optioned back at that point. If he gets hurt, he can go back on the IL, but he can't be optioned. He has to be carried for the rest of the year. The key number then becomes, are you on the active roster for 90 days? If you are, you've checked the box. At that point, you are just a part of your new organization. No more Rule 5 roster restrictions of any kind. You can be optioned next year. If you don't hit the 90 days, then you've got to be carried on the active roster next year without being optioned until you reach 90 days. So that's a long-winded explanation, though, of why a guy like Bastardo might be interesting for the Blue Jays, because you're not going to necessarily have to carry him on your 26-man active MLB roster for the entirety of the 2025 season. That's the rules arcania that I enjoy. But Jeff, you enjoy diving into the stuff. What is the stuff? I do too, but what is the stuff of Bastardo that why would the Blue Jays be interested?
Yeah, I mean, it's nasty stuff. Obviously another pitcher where the injuries were well-timed in terms of Rule 5 eligibility. He did have some double-A experience between 2023 at the end of the year and then the beginning of this year, because he was part of that period where, like, Bastardo blew out. If you remember, I drove up to Portland and Perales blew out a couple weeks later. But you're talking about a 95-mile-per-hour fastball. Not great shape there, but a pretty good pitch. A good slider, a good curveball. He's got a changeup as well that's had some success. It's a high octane pitch mix, which I think when you look at guys like that in the Rule 5 draft, at least when we're going through it and trying to think strategically about it, somebody who throws their fastball hard, throws their secondaries hard, has a couple of pitches with, you know, a 15 to 16% or better swinging strike rate, which Bastardo does in the changeup and the slider. You kind of look at a guy like that and say, you know, maybe it's not a starter. But he has the stuff that he could fit in a variety of different relief roles.
That moves us on to the Reds selected Cooper Bowman, second baseman / outfielder of the A's. Bowman was a guy we had written up, thankfully. By the way, if you're scoring at home, we had written up everyone so far at this point, I believe, other than Garrett McDaniel. So we started off hot. We slowed down a little bit as it got later on in the draft. But with Bowman, I think the Reds selecting him is key, because I think there's not a whole lot of teams where he would have a chance of fitting on the roster. I think the Reds are one of those, because I think the key thing is, as we said, second baseman / outfielder. He's played center. I think he could plausibly play all three outfield positions. You're not going to want to be your everyday center fielder or anything like that, but he can go to spring training. By the way, the guy can run. The guy's athletic. The guy stole almost 50 bags last year, and he hits lefties. So you could kind of look at him, as someone who basically is competing for a role in your outfield who can also play infield. Which, by the way, yes, that is the Reds type of player, because when you say, "Oh, an outfielder who can also play second base," like Spencer Steer, like they keep talking about Jonathan India. Jonathan India is just a second baseman and a third baseman, but they keep talking about him doing it. Like Matt McClain, who's actually done that in his career. Like Reds fans for some reason talk about with Ellie De La Cruz, who, by the way, should not move to the outfield. This is not O'Neill Cruz. Keep him at shortstop. But even like Christian Encarnacion Strand, who's really a first baseman who really tries to play third, but has been talked about as potentially a corner outfielder. They don't have a ton of outfielders, is what we're saying. So I could see this being at least a plausible path to get to playing, Jeff.
They don't have a ton of backup infielders that are on the active roster at this second either. So I think that he can kind of serve two masters of being an additional outfield option, somebody that can play second base. He did fill in, I think, for maybe 15 or 16 games at shortstop. Not that he's great there, but, you know, the versatility, you know, in situational baseball or injuries and things happen. And, you know, certainly I think it does give them some coverage. And I think he's got a chance to stick. He had a really good season. The underlying numbers are good. The bats of ball was good. He's a guy that can come in, and they already have plenty of speed on that team, but he's another guy that you can bring off the bench in a, you know, pinch run situation, and he can steal a bag for you. I mean, he had 43, I think, this year or something like that. So across the board, there's pretty good skills, some versatility defensively. You know, we had him in the Rule 5 preview, and I think after writing him up, we kind of thought, well, this might be a pick that makes sense.
This next one's one we didn't have. This was one that slipped by us, which is the Rays selected Mets left-hander Nate Lavender. Much like we said with Angel Bastardo, don't have to explain it again. Just rewind if you want to get the explanation. But he's coming off of internal brace surgery, which for the layman, if you want to just call that Tommy John, is slightly different. It's, you know, it's a little different. It's a little quicker return. But coming off of elbow surgery, much like Bastardo, he will be likely to miss the start of the season. Actually, the Rays even said their expectation is he'll probably start on the IL, 60-day IL probably. But his timing of his surgery is one that it's very possible that he will be ready to go in time to meet that 90-day active service time requirement, probably not a ton more than that, which is kind of a way to make a Rule 5 pick a little easier to stick, because you've just cut the number of days that you're carrying him on the active roster by half. And I bring that up because the Rays had a lot of success by carrying Kevin Kelly a couple of years ago, who really ended up being one of their better relievers last year. Had an okay rookie year, was better last year. When the Rays take a guy like this, I do pay attention that maybe it could really kind of pay off for them. But Jeff, again, you wrote him up. I've given the boring part of this, but you're giving the more exciting part, which is, why did they pick him? What's his stuff?
Yeah, it's not huge stuff in a traditional sense. Sat like 90 miles per hour on a fastball that had pretty good ride. It's upper 70s slider, upper 70s changeup. But if you know the Rays and you know what they look for, Lavender has, I think it was about 7.5 feet of extension.
I should have done my left hand. I should have reached my left arm really far out.
I mean, it's huge extension. And that's something they believe, you know, leads to a variety of good attributes and traits on pitches, but in particular deception. And I think he's somebody that they feel, you know, maybe they can rehab him, build him back up a little bit. Maybe he comes back with a little bit more in the tank. And, you know, of course, the extension and all that sort of stuff, they've done a great job of guys like that of really getting to play up. I can think back years and years ago to like Colin Poche, right, who was another guy like this that had huge extension. And, you know, huge extension pitchers and the Rays have kind of been synonymous for years.
So then that moves us on to one of my pick to click, which was the Twins' Everson Castellanos. We already talked about him a little bit. I will just note, like, he really had a good year last year. Struck out 30% of the batters when he got up to AA, which is, again, upper level experience, very important to us as far as, like, the traits that usually work better for the Rule 5 draft. Mid-90s as a starter, if he's going to the pen, if you told me that that's going to tick up a little bit more, if you told me that his breaking ball is going to tick up a little bit more, there's some makings there.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Indeed is the easy choice when we need to make a hire at Baseball America. It provides excellent tools to help get our job out in front of qualified candidates, and it helps me keep me organized throughout the hiring process. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just like a manager needs to plan to get that perfect matchup in the late innings of a game, you need to have a strategy to protect you and your family's future. That's why long before they ever sponsored the Baseball America podcast, I used SelectQuote when I needed to find life insurance. It was fast, it was easy, and it gave me peace of mind that I was getting the right policy at the best price possible. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience, helping over 2 million customers find over $700 billion of coverage since 1985. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less, while SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. You invest so much time to take care of yourself and to be the healthiest, best version of you. SelectQuote's exclusive policies can reward that effort. If you're in good health, they work for carriers to get you same-day coverage for up to $5 million with no medical exam required. And these policies are more affordable than you may think. You can get coverage for up to $1 million for as little as $20 per month. Head to selectquote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. SelectQuote, they shop, you save. Get the right insurance for you for less at selectquote.com/BA. Go to selectquote.com/BA today to get started. That's selectquote.com/BA.
That came with that then led to the 10th pick, which I would say, Jeff, was probably the one that was most surprising to me. And I say that because Gage Workman of the Tigers, third baseman of the Tigers, selected by the Cubs. And that's one that we did not write up. And in the case of like Lavender, we didn't write him up because he was hurt. We didn't, you know, he kind of slid by us. We talked about Gage Workman and just really kind of came to us like, no, we don't need to write him up. He reached double A in 2022. He really struggled in double A in 23, had a much better season this year in 24. He is athletic. He is a good defender at third base. He had a much better season offensively. That said, he was old for double A. He hasn't really had triple A. They kind of kept him at double A. When I talked to scouts about him and I said, should we be writing him up for the Rule 5? He's like, no, I don't think you need to. The defense, and if that offensive improvement that he showed in 24 is really real, maybe there's a chance here, but this is one that I'm a little skeptical. I wondered if you're as skeptical as I am about him sticking.
Yeah, and I remember seeing Gage Workman a bit on the Cape in 2019, had some big moments in that Cape League All-Star game back in 19, and a lot of those guys that were in that game, guys like Nick Gonzalez, guys like Joey Weimer, guys like, you know, Joe Boyle, and there's numerous others, Mason Black, not huge names, but all these guys have already debuted in the major leagues, and some of them have debuted multiple years in the past. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the trajectory is here. Good defense, tools, speed. The other thing is the underlying skills, the bat to ball, the approach isn't great. The contact quality is excellent. You know, he's a 400 plus ex Wobocon guy. So when we're looking at numbers like that, you know, he's sort of in the upper echelon in terms of exit velocities and batted ball angles. So, you know, when he does hit the ball, he catches barrels and he hits the ball hard. Guy that's, you know, has defensive versatility, is speedy, and then has that impact. I can see why a team would take a chance on him. But yeah, I think for us, it was like, well, he's repeated this level multiple times. He's older. It was a guy that I looked at. We might have even written him down as somebody to write up and then deleted it because we didn't think he would get picked. But that just goes to show you that's the tricky mistress that is the Rule 5 draft.
Well, this next one's another one we didn't write up. And again, I think we can explain our reasoning, which was the Braves took right-hander Anderson Piar from the Marlins who is an 8-year minor league vet who reached AAA this year for the first time and had a very good year. So, like, he does check several of these boxes.
He does.
I would also say, okay, and maybe you're going to tell me, no, here's what it is. But, like, I do give the Braves, when it comes to pitching, a lot of credit that they know what they're doing. So I feel like there are some traits here. You wrote them up. There's a decent fastball, down in the zone, sink it, create ground balls, all that. Is there something I'm missing, though, where it's like, okay, this is what they're clearly looking at?
He's like a cut fastball guy. He has three different fastballs. It's like a true cut fastball in like the traditional sense. Teams like that, that's obviously at this point in time, at least kind of a hot button, or hot pitch to have. Not a ton of power on it, like 92, 93. But as you mentioned, mixes a four seam as well and a two seam, and then a changeup as well and a mid 80s sweeper. So he's got some variance in terms of shapes that move in a few different directions, and did have success in AAA. Fair amount of ground balls, fair amount of whiffs. And when you're above average with ground balls and whiffs, I think there's typically a good foundation for you as a reliever to potentially have multiple pathways to get outs in the major leagues, which is frankly important. You're not going to blow everybody away in the big leagues like you did in the minors.
So that leads us on to the Padres selected Juan Nunez, right-hander from the Orioles. Does this sound familiar? Hurt last year. Had a shoulder injury, missed a lot of time. We don't know, but I would say with that there's always the chance that you might want to be very careful if you're the Orioles. You want to bring them back. Not the Orioles. If you're the Padres, you want to bring them back slowly. You want to make sure that he's fully 100%. And again, when I say that, that means you can start him on the IL because he has an injury. You can then bring him out with an injury rehab. But I will say for this is the guy who does jump out. If he's healthy, and all that kind of comes together, there's real stuff here, isn't there, Jeff?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think when I looked at the pitch shape, it was one of the better four-seam fastballs just from a shape perspective that I saw. Sat 93, 94 with above average ride and run. Mid-80 slider, with pretty good sweep on it. I wouldn't call it a sweeper. It's about, zero IVB, but 7 to 8 inches of horizontal. So it's not sort of long enough to be in that true sweeper category, but kind of like a baby sweeper to an extent. And as a changeup and a cutter, but I think you look at those couple of pitches and that could potentially work out of the bullpen. This is one of the guys that the Orioles had acquired in the Jorge Lopez trade, actually back in 22.
And then they then acquired some really good stuff in the Jorge Lopez trade that sent him to the Twins.
Yes.
So then the Brewers take Connor Thomas, left-hander from the Cardinals. And this is one, just in full transparency, the name of the team that picked Connor Thomas here makes me more confident about the ability to get something out of Connor Thomas at the big league level. And I say that because the Brewers, if you want to pick teams that you're like, where did that guy come from? Year after year after year, the Brewers are that team. Now, I would say that Thomas fits more in the control command phylum of Rule 5 pitchers, which with upper level success, which checks two of the boxes. You got to be able to throw strikes, upper level success. That's really generally success. Now, then the question becomes, does he have enough stuff? So, Jeff, does he have enough stuff that the strike throwing and the fact that he already had success at the upper levels of the minors, or is there a reason to be concerned here that it may not be firm enough?
I think we'll see. It's a sinker at 89 to 91. His primary pitch is a mid 80s sweeper that he throws a lot. You don't necessarily see a ton of lefty sweepers either, but a pretty good one.
I want to interrupt you. I want to ask you on that. Explain to people why you don't see a ton of lefty sweepers.
I think it's,
Mine is because
the amount of right-handers you're going to face, and it kind of neutralizes that platoon advantage that you have sometimes. But yeah, especially if you're a guy that's
only going to probably use against lefties, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you know, Ricky Tiedemann has a lefty sweeper. Like, there are some guys that have thrown lefty sweepers over the years. But more often than not, they tend to try to take some of the sweep off of it and make it a little bit more cutty than they do necessarily sweepy. So it's kind of an interesting mix. You know, it was a 53% ground ball rate. It was a 6.3% walk rate. You know, maybe that can work. It's the Brewers. I don't want to write it off. I wonder if there's enough horsepower here to survive, though.
Yeah, we have some skepticism. And again, if this would have been selected by someone not the Brewers, we would have been like, no, I don't think this is going to work. But we'll give them, you know, a little bit more. They deserve the – they have earned the extra credit of, like, look what they've done with a lot of different players. So that leads us to pick 14 of the 15 Major League picks. Taken by the Phillies, but then traded to the Rays for cash considerations, Mike Vassell. So the Rays have two picks. I will note, as we mentioned before, that Lavender will probably start on the IL. So the way I would probably expect this to go is that Vassell is pitching, one, to make the team in spring training, and then two, he has the time while Lavender's on the IL. It's going to be really hard to carry two Rule 5 pitchers in the pen, because those are two guys who have no options. Gonna make, and they're not probably going to be your closer or something like that. That's going to be tough. So I do think, though, that what you're doing here is Vassell has his time to show, like, he might be good enough to where you're like, yep, he's the guy. Sorry, we're offering Lavender back. Or maybe he's not, and he's had his time, and you get to the point where you're like, no, we want to try Lavender now. But I'd say that we both thought that Vassell was one of the guys who kind of had the best fits to click here if he got in the right situation as a Rule 5 pick.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a ton of pedigree here. He's had some up and down moments. It was a very down year this year in AAA. They expanded his pitch mix. He was throwing like six different pitches, was working in a two-seamer more than he had. There were some pitches he was throwing in certain situations when I dug into it for the Rule 5 preview that I felt like potentially a change in usage could yield much better results. And I wonder if the Rays kind of view it the same way. And some of it might just be shortening the arsenal and using certain pitches in certain situations against certain hitters and finding more success that way. But there is stuff here. There is a history of, you know, some success. So it will be interesting to see how this all plays out.
So then that takes us to our final pick in the Major League portion. The Braves also doubled up. Now, the Braves went one pitcher, one hitter. Makes it a little different. But they went with Christian Cairo, shortstop from the Guardians. And I kind of like, okay, this is, I feel like, almost right now, just a truly a position battle. They may bring in others. You could throw like the Luke Waddells and all. I'm not trying to not acknowledge him in this. But really right now, it's like, to me, it's like Christian Cairo comes to show up. And it's like Nick Allen, meet Christian Cairo, meet Nick Allen. One of you guys is going to be our utility infielder, and one of you's not. Why could Christian Cairo, knowing what we know about Nick Allen, what would allow him to be the guy who wins that job?
I think some of it might be arm strength and the ability to play like third base, which is something that I'd have to look in terms of Allen's background, but I believe it's mostly second base and shortstop.
Actually, I'll look that up while you're talking. I will have an answer for that.
He played a little bit of third base actually this season, maybe about 24 innings. So I think that's probably the biggest difference. It's funny too, because Nick Allen is out of options, I believe, too. So it's sort of in a situation where these guys are kind of truly in a utility infielder death match here in terms of who's going to stick on the roster and who isn't, because there's not really any other options. Unless they option Nick Allen down or DFA him and see if somebody picks him up or not. And then maybe he can retain him. But yeah, it's an interesting situation with those two.
So yeah, so that'll be a fun one. So that is all 15 Major League picks. And now, if you have interest in the Rule 5 draft, but you're not a complete and total, not sicko, you want to stay on the normal side of reality, we offer you an exit ramp here. Because now Now we're going to dive in. We're not going to go pick by pick through the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. We're not that crazy. But we are going to dive into the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. Yes, we're going to do that. So if you want to get all A, go away. We understand. But if you really, really want to buckle up, here's the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft, which, by the way, 68 players picked. I will give the preamble again. The thing about the minor league phase that's key, these are just players who are picked. You pay your $24,000. That's it. There is no, oh, you've got to be carried for the full season, never option from AAA. That would be kind of fun and weird in a way. But no, it is. You could send the guy. You could send the guy to the Dominican Summer League if he, you know, you could go to the Florida Complex League next year, even though he's a pick in the AAA phase of the Rule 5 draft. Used to be a AA phase too. Now it's just AAA. They've at least eliminated the fact that you used to be, it's like, oh, they really don't like me? If I'm in the AA phase, that means that they didn't protect me on the 40, and then that means they didn't protect me on the 38. And then that means that they didn't protect me on the AA roster. Wow, how many players do they like more than me? They've taken that away now. Now it's just the minor league phase. It's nicer now. Didn't used to be, I think it was 12 and 6 now. Now it's 24 for all. So a couple of things I will say, again, trying to explain the background of this, that have changed with this is 165-player roster limits now. That's a big deal. Offseason expands a little bit. I think it's 175. That's a limiting factor in the minor league phase because you're not going to pay $24,000 for a guy who you're like, oh, we're going to cut him, by the way, 2 weeks into spring training. No, you're only going to do it. Used to be you had a little bit more leeway on that where it's like, oh, their arm's interesting. Let's see what we can do. I think teams are a little bit more cautious on that now. You know, that $24,000, like you don't want to just set that on fire. And I will note, as I, you know, that $24,000 is two indie ball players. So if you look at it that way, you're on a tighter budget. Some reasons why you have teams maybe turning the knob back a little bit, because teams usually really love the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. But with that being the case, I'm putting you on the spot, Jeff. We're going to go ping pong back and forth. Give me an interesting or a Rule 5 minor league phase pick that you like.
Hyun Il Choi, guy that was picked from the Dodgers by the Nationals. He was somebody that when we were looking through the numbers initially, I thought he might even be, if he was projected in AAA, that he might even be an interesting Rule 5-ish type of pick. Maybe a long shot to get picked, but someone that was interesting. He went sixth overall to the Nationals, so it looked like they agree with me, but I like that pick.
Okay, I'm going to pick out the one player that we previewed on our minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. We did have one player because we knew that we thought we would be shocked if Tyler Burch, right-hander from the Orioles, was not taken. We were right. He didn't go 1-1 in the overall, but we did go 1-2 to the Rockies. So the Rockies get Tyler Burch. Above average stuff. Like there's a fastball here that has some ride and run. I mean, you know, he's some minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. Here's an arm who could pitch in the majors someday. Not guaranteed by any stretch, but could. Great pick in the minor league phase. Okay, back to you. We're going to see which one of us blinks first. We're going to keep doing this till one of us is like, no, no more. I'm done. So you, what's your pick?
Astros had a couple picks I like, but I like Gene Pinto, right-hander from the Orioles. He was a guy that was kind of a pop-up prospect a couple of years back. I still think there's some interesting stuff here. Was a little surprised he wasn't protected, but sometimes those things happen and interested to see what maybe the Astros can do with him.
Okay, I'm going back to the Rockies again. Man, I love the Rockies minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. Great job, Rockies. Jose Torres, shortstop from the Reds. I wrote him up as a top 30 prospect for them a few years ago when he was coming out of NC State. Probably a guy who's more of a minor league useful infielder. Can play some short, can play some second. Glove's not bad. The bat, probably a little bit stretched at the upper level of the minors, but it wasn't when he was in the lower level of the minors. But there's some stuff here. There's some, you know, again, this is a guy who can play shortstop. That's really useful. And again, we're talking about minor league phase. A lot of these guys are going to be the better players who kind of are the glue guys on AA, AAA teams. And that's the guy where Jose Torres could be, someone like that. So that's my next pick. Back to you.
Sure. Brian Gonzalez of the Red Sox. I thought he was interesting. 20 home runs this year in high A. He got a cup of coffee and Double A at the end of the season. A lot of strikeouts, was 32% strikeout rate more or less in High A. So probably the reason he wasn't protected in that organization on the Triple A roster. But still only 23 years old, just turned 23 actually in September. So you still have some runway with this pick. And you know, it's not nothing when it comes to power. And I think like when he was signed back in 2018, he might even be considered a decent signing at that time. So, there is some power there. Bat to ball skills, not so much. It's first base corner outfield kind of profile, but, you know, you could do a lot worse in this phase.
Okay. I'm going to go with Pirates picked left-hander Steven Hajar, former Michigan, was really good at Michigan. Was in the Guardian system, had some injury issues. If my memory serves properly over the last couple of years, but really was not very good in the Midwest League last year. Walked a lot of guys, but there is some pedigree here in the past. You're kind of hoping that he can kind of take another step forward. But so that's one I have. And by the way, it is going to be kind of hilarious that we are going to end up probably covering every minor league pick because neither of us is going to want to back down. But I probably will at some point. But continue. Who's your next guy?
Somebody that I've liked actually since I believe I saw him on the Cape. Former North Carolina State left-hander, Nick Swinney. Astros plucked him toward the end of the draft. Was up to AAA in 23. He was a 2020 second supplemental rounder as well. And, you know, 72 innings this year at AA. The numbers were not great. But I think you can look at Swinney and say, hey, like at one point there was a above average or average curveball here and average or above average changeup and some command. And some of that is backed up. And, you know, we'll see if there's maybe some stuff that we can tweak or fix here. He's 25, but a left-handed reliever that could maybe have a couple of decent pitches, I think is maybe worth the money and the risk here.
I'm going to go with Matt Cronin. Jeff keeps going back to guys in the Cape. I'm going to go to guys who I was impressed with when they were in college baseball. But Matt Cronin was really good at Arkansas and kind of seemed like he was on track to be a big leaguer a few years ago. Pandemic hit, but he reached AA in 21, kind of moving pretty quickly, reached AAA in 22. Had a decent season there, then kind of had injuries and didn't pitch well in his brief period of time pitching in AAA in 23. And then this year was back in A ball. And to be honest, he was facing guys who weren't a whole lot older than the guys that he was facing in the SEC in 2018 and 2019. Needs a change of scenery in this case. So I'll give credit to the Mariners, see what they're getting in Matt Cronin, a left-handed reliever. Back to you, Jeff.
All right, now in true Rule 5 draft fashion, pass!
I win!
Jeff Ponce passes. I'm not going any deeper anymore these days, JJ. They've gotten enough.
Yep, I got one more. I just want to do it. I got one more because I was ready with it, which is the Angels selected Josh Crouch, a catcher from the Tigers. He was a guy who a couple of years ago, I either was on the 30 or I thought about him being on the 30. They're just really deep on catchers right now. Like he's an old guy probably at this point, but he's a catcher who's not bad defensively, can hit a little bit, good guy to pick up. Hey, it's the Angels. If you told me they played the majors in 2025, it wouldn't absolutely floor me. So that's the one I'll end with, which is okay, I think we did at least 10 minor league picks in the Rule 5 draft off the top of our head. I loved it. I love it. I love it. I love it. That was fun. But we hope you enjoyed it. And by the way, we love you. If you are still here, if you rode with us through back and forth of minor league Rule 5 picks, you're our kind of people because we do. This is something that we do love. It's not fake. It really is. One of the things that Jeff and I really enjoy is this talking about like bouncing off of each other. Hey, what have you heard? Hey, what about this guy? Hey, what about this? And there is also a certain part of the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft that is a remember some guys portion. Because, again, it's unfortunate. Like, again, not everyone's going to make it. But you hear guys, you're like, oh, that's what happened to that guy. Oh, let me look him up because I hadn't thought about him in a little while. But then there also are those guys where you're like, oh, I remember writing him up. That guy was in a 30 not that long ago. Will Wilson, we didn't talk about. I had Will Wilson in my back pocket too. That was a guy who was a dude a couple of years ago and just didn't work out with the Giants. So a lot of those guys, there's a lot of remember those guys. It is the Rule 5 draft. We love it. Jeff, any closing thoughts before we get out of here and get back to writing Prospect Handbook chapters?
No, I'm kind of happy at this point that it's past us so I can get into the Prospect Handbook chapters, because it's a 2-week stretch that's, you know, it's sleep depriving. It's the best way to put it.
We're not complaining. We thank you again for buying the handbook, for buying the subscribing, all of that. But that's a good way to end it, because we got to go back to writing. So for Jeff, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.